Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this opportunity that we can be together. We can come here and look at your word. We ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to enlighten us, to open up what you have in store for us, that we can have understanding and that we can use it throughout our lives and maybe somebody else's life too that we can share it with. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about something that I think a couple of you already have seen and know about, but maybe some of you don't. I'm going to talk about the wall out here at Calvary Chapel. Our wall consists of 68 sections. It's divided into 51 just plain squares, 16 structures that have domes on them, and one pony structure that's down at the other end, at the west end. They're joined together with I-beams, steel I-beams. The dome structures have scriptures on them. And those scriptures were made by some of the people here at Calvary Chapel. Back in the late 1970s, while we're still having service down at 757 Main Street here in El Centro, we had purchased this property and we needed a wall to separate us from our neighbors to the north. And we wanted more than just a wooden fence or a chain link fence. So we decided to put up a cement wall that would present a spiritual message to all that would take the time to stop by and read the scriptures. The company that was constructing the cement sections sent us large pieces of paper, like blueprints, with letters and numbers printed on them, along with large styrofoam letters and numbers. And we had to clean up those letters and numbers and then glue them right there onto that blueprint so that they could use those. So at 757 West Main Street, we gathered together, cleaned them up, and glued all of those styrofoam pieces onto those blueprints, turned them into the company, and then that company took those sheets of paper with the styrofoam. When they poured the cement sections with the domes, they would take those pieces of paper with the styrofoam and push them into this wet cement, which gave us the scriptures that we have today. Then, once it set and hardened, they would bring each one of those sections and with a crane come and set each one of them in place. After they would set the ones with the scriptures in, we would take the X-Acto knives and go and take out all of the styrofoam and clean them out. And sometimes we would use even toothbrushes and clean them out. And that's what you see today. Well, tonight, I'm going to go over those scriptures. But many people have stopped by and read those scriptures, and we've seen them, especially right after we started building the church and after we started moving in and everything, and start having service here, we've noticed that people would stop by and point out to other people those scriptures. These scriptures read as follows, and I'd like for you to follow along with me. The first one, very first one, on the east end is Matthew 24:35. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, God's word is truth. When somebody says, and you've probably heard this saying before, and that's the truth, and you can take that to the bank. Well, believe you me, when God says his word will not pass away, it ain't going to happen. And why? Why is that true? One other verse I want you to look at. It's Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. And God's word will last through eternity. So, God's word is truth. So, his word will never pass away. The second one, turn to Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that's a commandment. That's one of God's commandments. We're commissioned to tell or preach the gospel to everyone. This includes to our next door neighbor, the people across the street, down the block from our home, the bank teller, the person next to us in line at Walmart, and our unsaved relatives. You know, in John 17:6-25, you don't have to turn there, but you can write it down, John 17:6-25, God sent Jesus. Jesus sent the disciples. The disciples discipled other disciples. Those disciples discipled other disciples. Other disciples, right on down the line, kept on going and down to us. So what are we supposed to do? It came all the way from God to Jesus, to the 12, to the other disciples and other disciples, and all the way down to us. So what are we supposed to do? Preach the gospel. That's a commandment, that we're supposed to preach the gospel. And that's on our wall. That's the second one. Number three. Get my pages separated here. John 15:12. John 15:12. This is my commandment, There's another commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's an old adage, keep your friends close by your side and your enemies closer. Now, why would you keep an enemy closer than a friend? Because of knowledge. The closer an enemy is to you, the more intimately you will come to know their capabilities, their strengths, their weaknesses, their tendencies, and so on. You can use this knowledge to your advantage. A close enemy is also one you're privy to the whereabouts of them, so you're much less likely to be caught off guard. At another level, an enemy has much, if not more, to teach you about yourself. Actually, your own capabilities, strengths, weaknesses, and tendencies will emerge more prominently, and this serves as an opportunity to learn and grow. And as you learn and grow more about yourself, you'll learn more how to love the Lord your God and how much you can love other people. With the love that God loves you with, you can love other people. So it's kind of neat how God has said that you love everybody. Love one another as I have loved you. And yet the world uses kind of the same thing. So keep your enemies closer. The next one, number four, John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Wow. You know, it seems like he keeps going back to his commandments, doesn't he? These commandments are out of obedience. We need to obey. These are out of obedience to him. How do we show God that we love him? By keeping his commandments is our expression of our love for God. Now, are we showing God we truly love him? Or are we just giving him lip service? You know, I think the majority of us are truly showing God that we really love him. Not just by telling people that we love God or telling God that we love him, but that we actually prove to him that we love him by acting out our belief that we are Christians, we are Christ-like. And guess what? We're looking forward to that time when we meet Jesus Christ in the sky and he says, welcome, come on in, good and faithful servant. Number five, Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, God cannot turn a deaf ear to a repentant saver, repentant sinner. This goes in hand. This verse right here, Romans 10:13, goes hand in hand. Look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is so faithful to us time after time after time after time after time. You know, I was trying to think of if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Okay, God, I know You forgave me of my sins. But why do I keep remembering them? I know, God, that You said that You forget those sins. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. But how come I keep remembering them? I can't forget them. And then my wife told me one thing. It's because God allows us to remember them so that we won't do them again. Because if we forget them, guess what? We'll do them again. This way, if we remember them, we're apt not to do them again because we don't want to sin against God. Boy, that's a blessing in disguise, isn't it? But God is so faithful to us. He's so patient with us, so understanding. You know, He understands us so much. Next one, number 6. Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're born into this world to grow up, to go to work for a living, but God has given us something that we can never work for, and that's eternal life. You know, yesterday is the past, tomorrow is the future, but today is the present. And as we wake up and unwrap the morning, Christ has blessed us with newness of His grace and mercy. Tomorrow, unwrap God's grace and enjoy what He has in store for you. Wow. He has such a blessing. Just waiting. The 7th scripture on our wall. Romans 3:23. Of course, these in Romans are called the Romans Road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Now, what does Pastor Pete always ask us about the Greek for all is? All. Yeah, that's right. Even that little old lady that lives down the street that seems like she's so loving and kind, but yet she hasn't accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. I thank God every day that He breathed those words before I came into this world, because He knew that I was going to sin, but yet He knew that I was going to accept Him as Lord and personal Savior. Thank Him every day. Number eight, the eighth one, Romans, again, 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This kind of goes hand in hand with the previous, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please turn to James 5:16. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual prayer, a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some Bibles say the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, a lot of times people call upon the elders to pray for the sick and pray for people. And we at Calvary Chapel have people up here after service to pray for people. When people come in, we ask them, how you doing? Not too good. Well, let me pray for you. We pray for people. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's not us that's righteous. It's Jesus Christ that's righteous within us. He is that righteous person. It's such a blessing to be able to pray for somebody. It's in God's hands. You know, we need to pray for our people more and more. Prayer warriors. This church is a hospital for people. And we need to pray for people more and more. Number nine, John 8:36. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, if we're free, then why there are so many Christians that seem to be carrying around 2,000 pounds of weight on their shoulders, or look like they've been baptized in lemon juice? You know, Jesus set the captives free. And if He set us free, we're free indeed. What does the word free mean? Free. Free from bondage. Free from 2,000 pounds of weight on your shoulders. If you have that weight, if you have doubt, if you have pressure, have somebody pray for you. Fall upon your knees and pray for yourself. God never has a busy tone. Number 10, Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, which was lost. This world, man, us, you and I were lost. God, the Holy Spirit, called us and we answered his calling and saved us from destruction and hell. Praise God for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we need to thank God that he sent the Holy Spirit that wooed us to where we came to realize how lost we were and how much of a sinner we were, that we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And now we're not lost. We're saved. And we have found Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And we're not lost. Number 11, Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. David used God's testimonies as his delight and his counselors. We should follow his wise advice and stick very close to what God has to say about how to conduct our daily living. You know, we started going to Thursday night Bible study at the Fistrup's house. We read 5 chapters. We're going through every Thursday night, we're going through the Bible. And we have stuck to that, and Barbara and I read a proverb a day. They say a proverb a day keeps the devil away. But by reading a proverb a day, we have found answers in God's Word to help us through our daily life. It is so refreshing to start off your day. What a blessing it is. His grace and mercy is new every morning. And it's through those proverbs that we seek that too. The 12th scripture, stick in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wow, that's heavy. David had treasured up the Word of God as the most valuable thing. In his heart, he hid it. It was permanently disposed there as the most valuable thing of his treasures. That I might not sin against thee. that it might protect me from sinning against thee, that I might be continually guided by its precepts, that I might be admonished of duty, that I might be deterred from going astray. We also must carefully treasure up the Word of God, declare it to others, meditate on it, and heartily delight in it. And then by His grace, we shall act accordingly to it. Hide God's Word in our heart. And you know something? When it's time to use it, to recall it, God will recall His Word so that you can share it with other people around you. Number 13, Psalm 119, but now verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The idea is that the Word of God is like a torch or a lamp and a light to man in a dark night. It shows us the way. It prevents us stumbling over obstacles or falling down or wandering off into paths which would lead into danger or would turn us away altogether from the path of life. You know, when we use that God's Word as that light to our feet, a light to guide us, we're going to stay on that straight and narrow path and not wander off. But we have to use it. If we don't use it, we're going to wander off. Okay, Psalm, but not 119. Psalm 33, verse 4. This is number 14, Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. For the word of the Lord is right, the command, the law, the promise of God. Whatever He says is right or is true. It is worthy of universal belief and should therefore be a reason for praise. The fact that God says a thing is the highest proof that it is true. And all His works are done in truth, or rather in faithfulness. That is, all that He does is executed faithfully. He does all that He promises, and all that He does is such as to claim universal confidence. Whatever He does is, from the very fact that He does it, worthy of the confidence of all His creatures. None, however they may be affected by what He does, have any reason to doubt that it is perfectly right. God is the only being of whom we have any knowledge, concerning whom we can feel this certain assurance. God is true. God is right. He made you and I, and we're right on. Number 15, Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. It is as easy for God to create the universe as for a man to breathe. Not. It is far easier. Man breathes not independently, but borrows the breath in his nostrils from his maker. I can't add anything to that. And the last one, number 16, is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John here is giving reference to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, before time as we know it, was the Word. In both places, it clearly means before creation of the universe, before earth, before you and I, was the Word. Jesus is called the Word. God is asserting his existence in the beginning, his coexistence with the Father. The Word was with God. There is no more unequivocal declaration in the Bible than this, and there could be no stronger proof that the sacred writer meant to affirm that the Son of God was equal with the Father. It's really neat that the first scripture is about God's Word, and the last scripture is also about God's Word. God's Word is very important in our lives. It is a love letter from our Creator, our Father, to his creation, his children. When your loved ones give you a love letter, what do you do with it? You cherish it. You hold it close to your heart. You read it over and over. That is what we should be doing with God's love letter to us. Cherish it. Hold it close to our hearts. Read it over and over and over and over and over. So now we've gone through the entire Calvary Chapel wall of Scripture. I hope you all have enjoyed this little journey we've been on. You can recognize, you know what the Scriptures are. You can share them with somebody. You can point them out to somebody. Do you have any questions? Do you have any prayer requests?